The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Again, I wish you all a very happy and holy Easter. These past 7 days, throughout the States United, have indeed been for many people days of pain, suffering, and death, days of great darkness. But we must not and we cannot ever lose sight of a very fundamental reality, that in the midst of pain, suffering, and death, in the midst of darkness, there is burning brightly and brightly and more brightly still the light of the risen Lord. Pain, suffering, and death do not come from God. Evil does not come from God. Darkness does not come from God. So even when we are faced in our fragility with pain, suffering, and death, with immense darkness, we must never and can never lose sight of that fundamental truth that our God is a God of mercy, a God of love, a God of compassion. He is a God who wraps his arms around us. In today's readings, he reminds us that he is the good shepherd. We are his flock. No person, no place, no thing can wrestle us from his hand. Nothing ever, ever, ever. Dennis and Pearl McKinley were very devout Catholics. They were parishioners in my home parish just outside of Belfast, Northern Ireland. They were involved in everything and anything that was concerning love of God and neighbor. They were daily communicants. They were Sunday communicants. They were regular attenders to the sacrament of confession. Pearl was a member of the Legion of Mary. Both Pearl and Dennis were members of St. Vincent de Paul. They were people of great means, but they used much of their means to help those who were less fortunate than themselves. If you could single out any couple in our parish as being a couple that strove to love God and neighbor, Dennis and Pearl McKinley would have been that couple. Toward the Christmas of 1988, their son Dennis, who is a very famous lawyer in Ireland, decided that he would treat his parents and another couple, their best friends, to tickets to New York for Christmas shopping. And so he gave his parents these tickets. Pearl, from her own admission, never really liked to fly. She was a white-knuckle flyer. She didn't like flying, really. But Dennis had convinced her. Mom and Dad, this is a wonderful opportunity. Here are first-class tickets. Why don't you fly to New York and back and do some Christmas shopping? So they were very pleased. And everyone in the parish was awestruck. Oh my goodness, imagine being able to afford a transatlantic flight and also to fly first class. So Pearl and Dennis were rather sheepish about this, but nonetheless, they decided that they would accept the present, and so off they went. On the way to the airport, they were traveling in two separate cars, and they all got to Heathrow on time, but the two couples became separated, and one of them missed the flight. But Dennis and Pearl boarded the flight for New York. My dear brothers and sisters, they boarded the Pan Am flight that blew up over Lockerbie, Scotland. And I want you to think about that, because it's very necessary that we ponder this great mystery as we enter into a reflection on the darkness that has swirled around us this past week. We know afterwards that the couple who missed the flight were frantically running around Heathrow, also very devout Catholics, praying and praying and praying, Lord, help us not miss that flight. We need to get that flight. They missed the flight, and from their own admission, they thought, at least for a period of time, well, a lot of use that prayer was. It seemed to them that the Lord had not answered any prayer. They prayed that they would get the flight, and they missed the flight. So they remained in Heathrow. And then the word started to come in that the flight that they were on was blown up, or at least went down. We know now it was blown up, but went down over the town of Lockerbie in Scotland, killing many people who lived in that little town also. Do you know that the bodies of Pearl and Dennis, they couldn't find their bodies for days? And that when they did find their bodies, they were scattered all over the highlands of Scotland, the two of them in different places, strapped to the chair from the aeroplane, still with the seatbelts on. My dear brothers and sisters, let us ponder today a number of things. First of all, the great mystery of suffering, and also the great mystery of free will. Very important when we come face to face with pain, suffering, and death, even in the midst of great darkness. Here was a couple who were as Catholic could be, who prayed every day, I'm sure, for their own physical and spiritual protection. And yet, what happened, dear Pearl and Dennis? They lost their lives over Lockerbie, Scotland, in the most unimaginable way. Dennis was their only child. And in an instant, he lost both his mother and his father. I have to say that Dennis remains a very devout Catholic. And it was, of course, as you can imagine, a great struggle for him, because it begs many questions. Well, my parents were doing all the right things, and look what happened to them. Where was God when this happened to them? These were people who actually went to Mass, who actually went to confession, who actually prayed and helped their neighbor. How is this possible? How does this happen? Isn't that the perennial question that we have asked ourselves down through the ages? Because we know that pain, suffering, and death come to good people and to bad people. That evil comes to good people and evil people. Why, oh why, oh why, oh why? And then this past week, of course, we have experienced in a very up-close and personal way that at the Boston Marathon, again, two individuals full of evil, full of murderous intention, prepared much and placed bombs in backpacks that they themselves carried through a crowd of innocent people. And then they took the backpacks off themselves and set them down again in the crowd of innocent people. And then they casually walked away. We know, of course, of the first terrorist that after the explosions, apparently, he went back to class at university. And he also worked out in the university gym. How is that possible? How is that possible? And then we understand that many innocent people were killed and many, many, many more were injured and maimed. Among them was an 8-year-old boy, Martin Richard. And to my great surprise, my brother, who lives in Boston with his two children, contacted me in the midst of it all and said, "Did you hear anything about a young boy called Martin Richard?" I said, "Well, I've heard it on the news." He said, "Pray, pray, pray. We know that family very well. I work with members of that family. We have been to their house. It breaks my heart." And so we know that in that family, not only did the 8-year-old boy lose his life, but the mother has brain injuries that are very serious, and the other sister, the young sister, lost one of her legs and is still seriously ill. You can only imagine. You can only imagine. And so my brother, like everybody else and all of those in these tragic, horrible circumstances, ask themselves very serious and deep questions. How is this possible? And of course, the enemies of everything we believe then begin to circle around us, and they begin to mock again everything that we believe as Christians, because they say things like, there can be no God when this happens the most innocent. And if there is a God, he's obviously not a good God, because he allows this to happen to the most innocent. Where is your God? Your God was not there. Your God doesn't care. These people were simply abandoned to circumstance and to evil. Is that what we believe as Christians? Well, it's not what we believe as Christians. What do we believe as Christians? That the Lord respects our freedom absolutely. And that one of the first gifts that he gave our first parents was the gift of free will. That the Lord gave us absolute and perfect freedom. And that we could decide to do with it whatsoever we wished. Why? Why would God give us free will? So that when we loved him, that love would be free. Love is only love when it is given freely. God did not create robots. He did not create machines. He did not create slaves. He gave everyone the gift of free will. And that's a great mystery for us. It's not that God was not there. It's not that God does not care. It's not that God is not compassionate or loving or merciful or does not desire to protect all of us. It's the fact that the gift of free will not only opened God up to the possibility that we would use the gift of free will against him and against our neighbor, but it also opened him up to the possibility that we would use the gift of free will for God and for neighbor. Another example would be the 9/11 hijackers, those evil and terrorist people who used their free will. How did they use their free will? They got up the morning of September the 11th, having put in process a long planning for a diabolical act, and they boarded planes in various parts of the northeastern seaboard. And they hijacked them. And then they flew them and all the people on them into buildings. That's how they used the gift of free will. Does God cause evil things to happen? It's not possible. Pain, suffering, and death have nothing to do with God. Evil has nothing to do with God. But free will, because the Lord wanted our love of him and neighbor to be free, that we would not be robotic slaves, he opened himself up to the possibility, the other side of the coin, that we would use the gift of free will against him and against our neighbor. This is a great mystery, isn't it? It is a great mystery for us. And so we have to be very clear and we have to be very determined that the light of Christ has not been extinguished. The light of Christ has not been taken from this world. Where was the Lord at the Boston Marathon? Of course the Lord was present at the Boston Marathon. The Lord is present everywhere. Of course the Lord was present when those people put those bombs on the ground. Of course the Lord was present when those people were so seriously injured. Of course the Lord was present in the first responders, in the volunteers, in the doctors. Of course the Lord was present, of all places to explode a device. The Boston Marathon had basically, they tell us, at every block, medical stations set up for the joggers. And so those people were able to receive quickly and immediately the best medical attention that could be given them. Within a block of where the bombs detonated was one of their best hospitals. Where was the Lord? Let us never lose sight of the fact that the Lord was there in the response of goodness to the pain, the suffering, the death. That the Lord was there in the goodness that responded to the evil. In our readings today, the Lord is very clear on this. In that second reading from Revelation, remember that John has a vision. He's given a vision of heaven. And he is told that these are the people who have washed their robes clean in the blood of the Lamb. And additionally, the lamb that you see in the center of this circle of praise is their shepherd, and these people are his flock. In the gospel, I am the good shepherd. I know mine, and mine know me. They are mine, and they can never be taken from me. So, my dear brothers and sisters, let us continue to pray for all of those who lost their lives, both in the terror attack in Boston and also in the horrendous accident in West Texas. Whoever could have believed it? Perhaps you were like me this past week. Every time you turned on the news, you said to yourself, "What on earth is going on? What on earth is going on?" And to be honest, even though a 24-hour news cycle is important, sometimes it simply depresses people more, particularly if they watch this bad news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We should be exposed to it. That's very important. We shouldn't live in denial. It is the reality of all that goes around and all that goes around us. So, my dear friends, we pray for the souls of the deceased. We pray for those who have been maimed and injured. But we can never, ever allow the pain, the suffering, and the death. We can never allow the darkness to extinguish the light that we have been given in Christ. Finally, remember this, that in the eternal scheme of things, our time on planet Earth is absolutely nothing in the eternal scheme of things. In the eternal scheme of things, this is nothing. And so we hope that on the day that that little boy died, 8 years of age, Richard, Martin Richard, that when he entered eternal life and saw the Lord, that the Lord wrapped his arms around him. "Martin, it is I, the Lord. Do not be afraid. I will take care of your mother and father. I will take care of your siblings. I will take care of all of those that you have left behind. It is I, the Lord. I, unlike these people, I am the good shepherd. I, unlike pain, suffering, and death, I've overcome pain, suffering, and death. It is I, the Lord." Let us never, ever lose hope. There is much bad news and much darkness around us, and we're not going to live for the rest of our lives without ever experiencing these types of things again. But we can never lose sight of the Paschal candle that is burning largely and brightly in our sanctuary. This is the light that the darkness can never overcome. May the name of Jesus be blessed and praised now and forever. Amen.